And ready to go. Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank you, Praise Band. I appreciate that so much. The spirit of Christmas, and really what Christmas is all about is the message and the story of Christ and Bethlehem, and just the privilege to be able to share that and that. And so we look forward, trust you look forward to a great holiday there and for the Christmas holiday. So you're lined up on this center line there. There you go. There's a plug. All right, so let me share a couple things with you. One is we'd ask you to continue to pray for the nation of Israel. They're still in a major conflict there. Thank you, Joe. And a major conflict in Israel. And I pray you continue to pray for Israel, but also continue to pray for the Middle East and what's going on. If you're not up to snuff on following it last night or in the early morning hours here recently, Syria, the dictator in Syria, Assad has been overthrown by the rebels, and they've had a dictatorship in Syria there for about 50 years, and a lot of civil unrest. He's even turned on his own countrymen there in Syria. I see this time Russia has not come to support or to back it up, and so there's some big changes coming in Syria. So just pray for that, and I agree with our new president-elect that. Pray America doesn't need to get involved in that. We'll see how it all unfolds and what happens there in Syria. So keep that on the prayer list, that peace not only can come to that region, but the Syrian people deserve better than that. And Israel, pray for them and peace and safety in that country and all that's going on there. So again, if you would, we appreciate you praying for them. So it's time to receive our morning tithes and offerings, gentlemen. If you'll come as they're coming, our missionary family of the week this week is Stetson and Sandy Plank, and they're one of our newer missionary families, missionary to Italy, and they're doing a great job there. Continue to pray for them, winning people to Christ, already establishing a church there in Italy, so a lot of work for them to do. Obviously, in Italy, being strong Catholicism but God is on the throne, and he's blessing their work and their ministry, and so I'd ask you to continue to pray. Pray for them, if you would. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we receive the morning tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the worship and music today. Just have your hand upon all that we do. God, we do pray for peace in the Middle East, in that region. We pray for Israel today. We pray that peace can come to the nation of Israel and be with their families and the military. Put a hedge of protection around them. God, be with the U.S. and the allies that are in that region of the world. Keep our soldiers and naval fleet and those that are there safe, and watch over them and put a hedge of protection about them. God, we do pray for the future of Syria today and going forward, that you'll have your hand upon the people of that country. They can finally find peace in that area. They'll have new leadership in that country. And so, God, we just pray that your will would be done. God, we look to you for all things, seeking your will. Your direction. Thank you for the Christmas season of the year, that we can uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and elevate his name and worship and praise to you, God. Thank you. We have the privilege to be able to give today. Thank you for our missionary families that serve around the world. Thank you for the Planks that serve in Italy. We pray you'll put a hedge of protection about them and have your hand upon their ministry going forward. Thank you for God's people and their giving today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you, gentlemen. And as they're passing the offering plates, let me just kind of share with you a special thank you to the volunteers that came in and decorated for Christmas this week and throughout the building. And so continue to thank the Lord for their talent, Sue, Gil, and Linda back here, wherever they're sitting back here. And then, Sherry, I understand you did a lot of decoration here in the sanctuary. Thank you. For your hard work and dedication, and all the volunteers. Give these volunteers a hand that come in and help out this week. And, man, they were here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and to have a part in all that, and I really appreciate that, hours. And it takes a talent to be able to get out and do a lot of work in that, and a lot of preparation, a lot of work that goes into that. So thank you again for that. Let's take your Bibles, if you will, and go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to read some verses in Isaiah this morning, and then also over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. So in the scripture today, in the book of Isaiah, you know, this is always a special time of the year during Christmas, and there's a prophetic verse here that I want to highlight in the book of Isaiah. that will also tie into the book of Matthew. And here, prophetically, there's a sign that has been given of the virgin-born Son of God. And we know here, it's referred to in the Scripture as Emmanuel, but to kind of get the idea of the setting here, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass," Isaiah 7, 1, "it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, and as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit or the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and of the son of Remaliah here, because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it. Let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. And then saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. And if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. And moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but ye will ye weary my God also? And therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You might circle that word Emmanuel. It simply means here in the Bible, God with us, because Ahaz here would not give a sign. God prophetically here through David gave a sign in Emmanuel, the sign, the name here, a sign to the Son, born of the Virgin Mary. And it simply means in the Bible here, God with us. Go to Matthew chapter 1, if you will. In the New Testament, we see the fulfillment of this. Isaiah gives us a little bit of glimpse of it here in Isaiah chapter 7, but when you open up the New Testament in the book of Malachi, you get to the story of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin reading in verse 18, that simply says that now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When Matthew 1 and verse 18, that when as his mother Mary was espoused, would be engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, which would be the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, and this is what we just read in Isaiah chapter 7, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Probably the greatest story and the greatest gift ever given to mankind is the gift that God gives through, right here, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting here is Mary and Joseph, as Joseph was espoused to, committed to, engaged to, prepared to become, they had not come together as husband and wife. And yet we find here Mary, being conceived of the seed of the Holy Spirit of God, now finds herself with child. Not only a child, but a very special child of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here God comes to Joseph, appears to him, calms him down, tells him what the plan is and what's going to happen. And this newborn son that's going to come into the world is going to save the world from their sin, simply called Emmanuel, God with us. God knows that it's interesting because I'm going to give you this message today simply based on Emmanuel, how important it is that we understand the message of Christmas is all about God with us. I'm going to give you the contrast to that at the end of the sermon on Ichabod, which means God is not with us. So when you think about that, I want to give you, I know we have a lot of avid golfers in our congregation. I want to give you a little illustration that those of you that are into golf or whatever, some of you may pick up on this, even if you're not golfers. But if you look at a golf ball, they have dimples on a golf ball, round golf ball. True story, I read this, said a golf ball presents a complex fluid dynamics challenge. A blunt sphere pulls air along with it as it flies through the air, creating a wake, and the energy needed to pull this air is the drag that slows it down. The challenge is to reduce the drag, allowing the ball to be able to fly farther. And that's why golf balls, when you pick them up and you look at them, have dimples. They reduce the drag by disturbing the air, keeping it in contact with the ball longer. Now, up until about 2001, dimples on golf balls covered about 65 to 75% of the ball. But they created a golf ball that became aerodynamically perfect. A Boeing executive by the name, a guy by the name of Steve Ogg, O-G-G, created a golf ball instead of 100% surface coverage, no flat spots. At that time, it was called a Callaway HX golf ball. So you say, well, what does that have to do with our faith? What does that have to do with Christianity? What does that have to do with Emmanuel? What does that have to do with God with us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because when you think about it, our lives do not have a lot of flat spots in them. When you think about it, meaning the flat spots simply being a lot of easy times. As a matter of fact, I would wager to say, based on the number of people that are here today, somebody has come through this door and you're going through a hard time today. You're going through a challenge today. You're going through a difficult time today in some sort. And that's why it's so important when we come to the house of God, when we come to the church house, and especially around Christmas, it should be about edification. It should be about building up. It should be about encouraging. So when you think about it, our lives could be more easily illustrated like that golf ball and the fact that our lives oftentimes become dimpled, if you will. Dimples make it fly easier, and the flaws that we have to deal with reduce the drag in our life. For example, let me give you the first thought on this simply today, is that when we think about suffering, now if I had my choice and that I would choose, there'd be no suffering in the world. But there is oftentimes suffering and people go through, and some sitting in here today, you have gone through, maybe are going through now, or you will go through in the future some form of suffering along the way. That we face or will face, but it does not ruin our lives. Really, suffering sometimes really will enhance our lives. From the trials, from the tribulations that we go through, it will enhance your life. Think about this. You ever lose a job? A dimple. Your boss has it in for you? A dimple. You think about, you get the courage to ask a girl out on a date and she says no, a dimple. Your son gets into trouble, your daughter gets into trouble as a parent, a dimple. Your doctor finds that you have stage 4 cancer, a dimple. So one of life's tribulations. Our lives resemble, if you think about it, the surface of a golf ball much more than the surface of a beach ball. You ever go to a beach ball and it has a smooth, round surface to it? So the golf ball already dimpled, gets cut, grass stains, mud on it. Just like you and I, when we go through life, things happen along the journey of life. The more dimpled the surface of our lives, the better we can become in the service of the Lord. Simply Emmanuel, God with us. As we go through the struggles, as we go through the trials, as we go through the pain, as we go through that doctor's report that you didn't want, or you go through that human tragedy that you didn't anticipate or want, or you get the news about a family member that you didn't want, a dimple along the way, and it will, if you handle it correctly, will only make you stronger in the Lord. So we grow stronger once we realize the more challenges we face, the more struggles that we go through, sometimes the more suffering that we go through is for a purpose and for a reason. Let me give the second thought, not only about suffering, but think about in the Bible what it talks about adversity. And adversity is simply when fears or worries come and we have the opportunity to grow stronger through our adversity. If you never had any adversity, if you never had any really trying times, if you never been pressed to the wall and had your back and where you really had to go through something in adversity, handled correctly will only make you stronger. The same is true of steel. I know when I grew up, my father worked for the Empire Reeves Steel Corporation in Mansfield, Ohio. So he asked me if I wanted a summer job in college, and so one year I went to the South Plant, worked in the South Plant in the steel mill. Next summer I came back, I went and worked in the North Plant. So in the South Plant, I was there where they had rolled steel, and I saw the more of the end product of it or whatever. But the summer I worked in the North Plant, that was where the open hearth furnaces were, and that's where they brought everything in and put it in those furnaces and then heated them up to about 2,800 degrees to 3,200 degrees, boiled that down, tapped that furnace, and then out of that into a big ladle would steel come running out just like poured like a glass of water. Crane operator and an air-conditioned crane would come down through the North Plant in the mill, pick that ladle up, tip it up, and pour that hot steel in molds going right down through the plant. It was interesting to watch them make the process of steel and how it became hardened and how it became useful. The same in the adversities of life. The same is true. Steel has some strength, but to make it really strong, to make it really strong and fold it over again and again, then temper to become really strong, be strong because the strain is gone through the forming of it. So as you and I go through the diversities of life and through the adversities and the challenge along the way, it's only to make you stronger in the Lord as you trust Him. And we do know this, God will not put on you more than you can bear. God will not give you more than you can handle. And God always simply says to you and I, my grace is always sufficient for you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the news you get, no matter what's on your plate, no matter what you're trying to handle, whether it be death, whether it be financial, whether it be a son or daughter, whether it be a marriage, whatever is going through, God said, my grace will be sufficient through you. God, Emmanuel, is God with us, but there will be times we go through suffering. There'll be times we go through adversity. I want you to think about today the history of the church. Think about the history of the church. In the early centuries, the church suffered fierce persecution. I mean fierce persecution. To confess Christ as Savior publicly in the early church many times could mean death. So what happened to the church in those early years is it grew by leaps and bounds. It grew closer to God and it became stronger in its relationship, and just the opposite of what we might expect. So contrast that to the church, if you think about it, of the Middle Ages, when it reached the zenith of its influence and power, that those became the dark times of the church, spiritually speaking. The church became, at that time, corrupt. The people were denied access to the Bible and in their own languages. So it really became one of the worst times for the church, even though it was really the smoothest for them. So oftentimes we say, God, you know, we just want smooth times. We don't want to upset the boat. We don't want any suffering. We don't want any persecution. We don't want any trials. We don't want any adversity. The only way you're going to get stronger, the only way you're going to be able to endure, the only way you're going to be able to go through that is to allow sometimes. God allows, if you will, permits, if you will, and brings into our lives certain times some kinds of suffering or some kind of adversity, simply to prove simply to us that He is our Emmanuel. He is God with us, not only in the birth of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but whatever you're going through and whatever the relationship is and whatever the struggle is in life, Emmanuel, your Emmanuel is with you. God is with you through all that. You know, when you think, you know, which churches today, when you think about it, have the most vitality? Churches, you know, when you really think about it, churches really should be churches that repair broken lives. When you go out that door, life becomes a reality. Life and struggles become a reality. Sometimes heartache and pain and struggles comes along with that. So when you think about it, where is the church growing by leaps and bounds? Where the poor and the oppressed meet the Savior face to face. Where the dimpled people, if you will, and God come together. And so He works in the hearts and the lives of people. God has a plan and has a purpose for suffering. God has a plan and a purpose for all different kinds of adversity we go through. And if you will, I love it in the book of Job, because there was a conversation that God and Satan were having one day, and God is the one that initiated the conversation. God comes and says to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, no, because God, you have put a hedge of protection about him, and I can't get to him. And God said, okay, I'm paraphrasing this now. He said, I'll remove the hedge of protection, and you can take everything Job's got, but you can't take his life. And he drew a line and said, you can't take his life. Lo and behold, Job had many sons and daughters, 10 at that time. Lost them all. I can't imagine if you lose one, the heartache and pain of that. You imagine losing all your children at the same time? He lost all of his children. Adversity. And then after that, Job was a very wealthy man. He lost all of his wealth. Imagine the financial struggle that came with that. Adversity. And to make matters worse, then after he lost his children, then after he lost his wealth, then he lost his health. You know, life can look a little bit different when you lose your health. You don't feel well. You're going through something that's catastrophic in your life. You don't feel good. You're struggling through something. You're suffering through something. And all of a sudden, his health began to go down. And it got so bad, his friends turned on him. And his wife even told him, get this, you think your wife would be your cheerleader in the corner? She even said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? His friends accused him of, what have you done, Job? What sin have you committed? What have you done to bring all this on your life? Well, you and I can read it in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. It was simply God was putting Job to a test, allowing, if you will, suffering to come in, adversity to come in, to make him stronger. And I love it because the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not. In all this, he didn't turn against the Lord. In all this adversity and all this suffering that he went through, his heart was still towards God. And here's what he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Well, you talk about the depths and the richness of that. When you think about Job. So when you think about it here, you think about the nation of Israel. Their closest times to God came in the darkest hours. We think about the times of their exodus from slavery to Egypt, from the times in the wilderness wanderings that God is simply with you. You think about Jonah and what he went through in the stomach of the fish and all that he came through until finally he came to his senses. God came to him and the fish spit him up on dry ground. The Bible says that Nineveh was a three-day journey. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel and to preach the word. The Bible says that after he was spit upon the ground, he made it in one day, a three-day journey, made it in one day, got busy to do what finally God sent him to do. He said, if you're not going to obey me, then I'm going to allow this adversity, a little bit of suffering, to come into your life. You think about this, no matter where you are, God can come to you. He promises Emmanuel, God with us. So I would say today, my friend, that during this Christmas season of the year, wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happened along the way, God still loves you, and God is in the middle of everything that's going on, and our Emmanuel is still there. You might not think so. You might not think so when the doctor says, guess what, you got stage 4 cancer. You might not think so when you just lost a son or a daughter. You might not think so when this tragedy or this happened along the way. No, God is still there, and sometimes he permits suffering and adversity along the way. He is our Emmanuel through that all. The Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you and I right in the midst of it. You're not alone, nor does it depend only on you. Loneliness is a horrible thing, is an awful thing. And there are people in church, I would wager to say, based on the number of people today, somebody probably came to church today, and you're not exactly looking forward to Christmas. Might be a lonely time of the year. It might be a difficult time for you. The only thing I would say to you today simply is that your Emmanuel is there. God is with you there. You don't have to go through it alone. You're not alone. You don't have to be alone and alone in your thoughts and your actions and that. He is there with you. Your Emmanuel is there. When you think about it, we need a God who is not just above us, but one who is in and through us, and he is. And many people have trouble sleeping because you're worrying. Just remember that your Emmanuel is there. Remember, our shepherd is right there. He literally knows, he protects, he is our Emmanuel. God's desire has always been to be with those whom he has created. Think about that. Let me say that again. God's desire has always been to be with those in whom he has created. He did so with Adam and Eve. He did so with Moses and Israel. He did so in the days of the judges. He did so with Saul. He did so with David. He did so with Solomon. The kingdom united and the kingdom divided. There always will be hills and there always will be valleys in the journey along the way. Your life may be dimpled by your trials, but because God is with us, we can move right through life and right into the victories and the promises that he gives us along the way. Now, the opposite is also true. Let me show you this. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 4 in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 4. When you think about the opposite of Emmanuel, I would call it in the Bible as being Ichabod. And you find this right here in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and in verse 21, the Bible says, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. What was happening here in Scripture, Ichabod was the son of Phinehas and the grandson of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. Hophni and Phinehas here died in battle with the Philistines, who captured the Ark of the Covenant and took the Ark of the Covenant away from Israel. The Ark of the Covenant always represented the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah presence and power of God. So upon hearing that terrible news, Eli fell backward off his chair, broke his neck, and died. Phinehas' pregnant wife went into labor and then bore a son, and they called the son's name Ichabod. Ichabod means, simply in the Bible, the glory has departed from Israel. That's what it means. Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God had been captured. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about what can we look forward in 2025. And some of the things that we were picked out, and somebody in the room said, you know, we should pray that God would intervene in 2025 and we can see a change taking place and a turn back to good and away from evil, more of putting God back at the center in our lives and our country, our nation, and begin to heal a healing in our land. We need Emmanuel. We need God with us in his presence. We surely don't need Ichabod and his glory has departed. Ichabod means inglorious. It means there is no glory. And in her pain and despair, the woman here that is talking about here is unnamed in the Bible, lamented over the loss of the glory of God of Israel, the thing that you and I do not want and absolutely should dread and be fearful of, that God would remove his hand, remove his glory, remove his presence, remove his power, turn his back and say, Satan, do whatever you want with them. We need to put God at the nation, our country, all we're doing. Our families, our individual lives, our nation, our country, our leaders. The glory of God is used to describe God's favor, God's blessing towards his people. And we found over in the book of Matthew in chapter 23, Jesus was lamenting over the city of Jerusalem. He said, you have killed the prophets, you've stoned those that were sent to you. Your house, not God's house, your house. When God is no longer with us, when God's presence and power is no longer there, then it's our house. We want it to be God's house. I don't know about you, but I always kind of look at it, you know, this is not, it's our church, and we as members, we come here and we worship, but this is God's church. This belongs to him. He owns it. We don't own it. We're just here as stewards for a little while, taking care of the work of God. What I do, what Ron does, what the deacons do, what Sunday school teachers do, we're just stewards for a short period of time in a framework of time, doing what God has placed us to do in the work of the Lord. This is God's house. It belongs to him. You are God's people. You belong to him. And we need his glory and we need his presence. And we realize that when God is no longer with us, then it becomes ours and we are abandoned. We need to pray today, my friend, Emmanuel, God with us. And you think about how many Christians today in church today have been abandoned by God. And God has left his glory and wrote over it, Ichabod. Whether willingly or unknowingly, the same thing that caused Ichabod in Israel, sin, disobedience, idolatry, can be present in the lives of people and churches and nations. And we must never take the glory of God in our midst for granted, lest we wake up one day and find God has left. We need to pray today, God, we need you here. You're our Emmanuel. You are present with us. God with us, our Emmanuel. May we celebrate Christmas this year as God with us. Whatever you're going through, my friend, God is with you right there every step of the way along the way. Will there be times of suffering? Perhaps. Will there be times of adversity? Perhaps. Will there be time you get a medical report you don't like? Perhaps so. Will there be a tragedy in your family? Could be. What's going to unfold in 2025? Don't know. But by faith, the Bible talks about by faith and not doubting, we can trust God for all things and ask him to be in the middle of all that we do. To God be the glory. We want his glory, his presence, his power, and his hand upon our lives, upon our families, upon our church, upon our nation, upon our elected officials, upon the world that we live in. God, we need you at the center of all that we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. And the Bible says that God is with us. God, we pray today for your presence, for your power, for your glory, your hand upon all that we do, our individual lives, our families, our marriages, our home, our children, our grandchildren, our churches, our nation, and our leaders. Emmanuel, God with us. God, we need you today. Don't leave us. Don't forsake us. God, if there's sin in our life, may we confess that sin and ask you to forgive us. God, if there's any here that's not saved today, that again, they would ask forgiveness of their sin and ask Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and as Savior. God, lead us, direct us. May your presence and your power be real in our lives. I pray for that one today that's going through a very challenging time today. I pray for that person today that's going through some suffering, adversity, a struggle that seems so powerful they're not sure how they're going to get through it. God, help them to remember that you are their God and that you're on the throne and that you are with them today. Heavenly Father, save the lost. Heal our nation. Guide our leaders. May your breath and power and strength be upon this land and upon we the people. And God will be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. With every head bowed today, my friend, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're a Christian, you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, you can do that right now, right where you sit, right this moment. So all you got to do is ask Jesus into your heart, and I'll walk you through that. Just simply pray this prayer. If you desire to be saved today, dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner. I cannot get to heaven on my own, so God, I ask for your forgiveness today. And today, with my mouth, make confession, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for forgiveness of my sin. God, I repent of my sin and ask for eternal life today. I believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, today. Brother Ron's going to lead us a verse of invitation today. I'd encourage you, if you pray to receive Christ as your Savior, we'd love to pray with you. Pray, and anything we can do to be of help and encouragement to you, we want to be able to do that. Maybe there's somebody you're going through today that's, you know, that's going through a time of adversity, suffering, struggle. Why don't you pray for them today and ask God to have His hand and His presence in their life. Emmanuel, God with us. He's right there. Seek His direction and seek His hand today as Brother Ron leads us. The altar's open. If you want to come to pray, we invite you to come.
I have decided.
While these are praying here at the altar today, we're getting ready to wrap up 2024, getting ready to head into 2025. What's in store for us next year? I don't know. Probably a lot of changes. Don't know how it's going to unfold. Don't know how it might affect our families, our lives, our church, our nation, our country. But would you take a moment right now in this invitation, right where you stand, just to pray and ask for God's presence, God's power, God's glory upon your life, your family, your church, your nation, your leaders, and going forward. And just seek His face. As Brother Ron leads us in another verse, you take a moment and just pray the Lord's direction.
The world behind me, the cross. No turning back.
Heavenly Father, God, today we love you with all of our heart today. And God, we pray for your presence, your power, your glory, your hand upon all that we do. God, we thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. Be with us every day on this journey. And going forward, God, we trust you for all things. To be sure, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for being our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me just share with you today. Today is our annual church-wide Christmas dinner. And they've prepared food over in the gym. And we asked people to sign up for that. It was just $5 per adult. All teenagers, children come free. And so if you would, don't forget, I'm going to have pray for the food right now. And then as we leave today, we'll go across the foyer, go down the hall on the other side, and come in those back doors and go through the serving line. And again, thank you for all the decorations and the decorations over in the gym. And enjoy the time, fellowship, the meal. If you're a guest or visitor today, you're invited. We're glad to have you here. And you say, Pastor, I'd want to come, but I forgot to sign up or something. You go ahead and come. You can have my meal or whatever. And, you know, I guarantee you, if you drive off, you're not going to go down the road and eat a meal like you're going to get over here for $5. That is a Baptist bargain over there. And I'll tell you that right now. Let's pray for the food. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for God's people. Bless our time of fellowship together as a church family. And thank you for the volunteers, the cooks, the workers, the preparation, the decoration, all that went into making today possible. God, have your hand upon all that we do, and God will be sure to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no service tonight, so we're going to head over to the meal in the gym. Good to see you in church.
This Christmas, I'm gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. The city streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can, cherish the moment, and the ones that you love, make sure they know it, and don't miss it. The heart Christmas, I'm gonna say a little prayer. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can and cherish the moment.
Same thing.